All right, I want to welcome everybody here to the Raw Spiel, where we keep it real with the hard truth. And glad to have with me Apostle Bolden, the Shepherd of God's Truth and Deliverance Ministry in Bolivar, Tennessee. How you doing today, sir?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing today?
Doing all right. And I'm doing just fine. And he's joined with me. Also have Sister Bolden, his wife. Here. How you doing today, ma'am?
Doing well. Thank you.
That's good. Glad you're able to join in to give your experience with this topic we have here. And we're going to talk about the Roe v. Wade ruling. You know, that was given the... I know we all spoke about this before. Oh, I don't jump the gun. Well, August the 7th. Let's get that out the way there. August the 7th, Sunday, August the 7th at 1 p.m. in Derrida, Louisiana. Apostle Bolden will be holding a tent revival at the corner of Elm Street and Vine. And encourage as many people that can, if you have nothing to do, to come out there at 1 o'clock p.m. in Derrida, Louisiana, right around the corner. On the corner of Elm Street and Vine for a tent revival, more of a deliverance service. So please come on by, and I believe you will get some out of it. So Apostle, what is your take on this ruling that Supreme Court overturned this Roe v. Wade decision? Before you answer that, I also want to get out of Clarence Thomas wants to also tackle the Lawrence versus Texas case, also the Griswold versus Connecticut, and the, hope I don't butcher his name, Obergefell versus Hodges. And to me, those three, we'll get in them, explain those. It seems like those three things have in common is blocking pregnancy. The Lawrence versus Texas is validates sodomy, making it legal across the state, and Griswold versus Connecticut gives the married couple the right to use contraceptives, and the Obergefell versus Hodges, and that's a case that made a way for these to legalize the same-sex marriage. And those three seem like that the thing they have in common is to shut down pregnancies. You can't get pregnant under these here laws here. So before we get into that, what is your take with the Supreme Court ruling with the Roe v. Wade?
Well, me personally, I'm glad that I'm personally, as a believer, I'm glad that it was overturned. I'm glad that America took a step in the right direction concerning that. You know, that to me, that's a big deal, and it gives me hope for a lot of other things, because I'm telling you, if they could overturn that, and really, you know, if we really just take a look at what happened, what did they really do? They really gave the power back to the state to decide from state to state. And to me, I don't think it's fair that, I don't believe in abortion, period. But it's definitely not fair for it to be a constitutional right. You know, the Supreme Court is there to uphold the Constitution, and there's nothing in the Constitution that says we have a right to kill the unborn. That's not constitutional. You know, that's what the Supreme Court is there to do, to uphold constitutions, the Constitution. Everything else, it should be left to the state, which is, so by state, you know, depending on whether they are liberal or conservative, they'll go by that. Concerning that, but I just firmly believe that I think we took a step in the right direction as a nation that to overturn and take that out of the hands of the federal government. It never should have been on the federal level to begin with. Never should have been there, you know. But this was their way to solidify their right to do what they want to do concerning babies. And I really feel that this is a war on the unborn. And to me, you know, like we've discussed this before, you know, it happened in Moses's day whenever there was a savior to come, which was Moses himself, you know, the savior of that group of people. And then it happened again in Jesus's day when another savior was to come, you know, that they were always killing the unborn whenever God was ready to send somebody in this world to help people. And I see, you know, there's no telling how many prophets and apostles and pastors and missionaries and things like that that have been killed, all in the name of freedom. And I have a right to do what I want to do with my body. And so I'm glad, and I'm not ashamed to say I'm glad that it was overturned. It seemed like now we're moving in a little bit in the direction of some common sense in this nation, because to me, that's common sense. You don't, you know, I don't want to get ahead of you, but to me, you don't deal with the aftermath of irresponsibility. You know, to me, and this is just me personally, I feel like, you know, the purpose of one of the reasons for husband and wife to come together and to be married is to have a family and to procreate. I'm not saying that's the only reason, but that's one of the reasons. And I think that needs to be settled. Now, if you don't want to have children, you know, there's something that can be done about that. You know, as far as just not coming together, you know, what happens when you come together, baby's going to come out of that. And to me, it sets a bad precedent. Then what are we teaching our children when we say you could do what you want to do and with no consequences? And I don't even look at children as a consequence. They're a blessing from God. But to me, we're living in a sad state when that has become the norm. Just do what you want to do and then cover the consequences later. So I'm glad that they overturned it, and I'm not ashamed to say it, and I feel sorry for any believer, so-called believer, that feel like that's okay, that killing babies is okay. You know, that is not okay, and I'll preach that until the Lord comes back. That is not okay to kill children. And you know, when once you conceive a child, that is no more your body in there. There's there's another body. You know, what about that body? You know, and women say, well, take your, you know, that's the cry of liberal women. Take your hands off our bodies. You don't have a, well, what about the little women in there? When are they going to get their say? They saying the same thing. Well, don't abort me then. You know, if it's really about women's rights, they start off in the womb as little babies, little girls. So, you know, you know, it's, to me, we just live in a generation. It just seems like we're blinded, you know, and we're living out the days like what the Lord said. In the end times, the love of many would wax cold. And that's what I see happening. And I'm so glad maybe we push back some of God's judgment that he was sending this way. Mm-hmm. And maybe we stalled that for a few years. You know, but I'm glad that we come to that point where that was overturned. Because honestly, I didn't think we were going to ever see the day that happened. And I've been praying for that day. This was something, and one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about it, because this is something that I debated when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was in high school on the debate team, you didn't find out what side you were going to debate until it was time for you to stand up and debate, you know, until you was at the debate. And you had to prepare for both cases. And I was praying, Lord, please let me have the one side, because I'm going to just get up and say, well, I lost, y'all won, because I don't know how I could debate that it's okay, you know, to have an abortion, so y'all win. I'm going to just lay down. But but I was so glad, because I had pictures and everything to show, you know, aborted fetuses in trash cans in Louisiana, in Baton Rouge, aborted fetuses in trash cans, ready to be shipped off for beauty products and things like that. And so this is something that I've been passionate about. And I just, you know, to me, it's a shame. You would think mothers would, women would stand up for motherhood. You know, you would think it would be the other way around. That men would be like, no, y'all need to get rid of that. I don't want that. And then the women would be fighting. But it's really just the opposite almost. Men want the children and don't know that the wife is pregnant or the woman is pregnant and the woman going behind his back having an abortion. Mm. So, you know, so it's just, it's twisted. I tell you, we live in a sad state when women are running to kill their babies.
Oh, yeah.
And men are wanting their baby, you know. So I just, that's what I think about it.
Oh, yeah. It's funny you say using fetuses for different products. I know, I seen on, I forgot the name of the product it was. It's endorsed by Oprah Winfrey. Where they use baby's foreskin to in a lotion, I guess, to give you that youthful look. So I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if these, how you go about getting baby foreskin to put on? I think it's some kind of lotion, some kind of cream. And I saw the host of the TV show. He didn't know what it was. He had to rub it all on his hand, and then one of the representatives said, oh, that's made out of baby foreskin, and well, he bought lost it on there. So you just imagine, you know, you taking that and rubbing it on your face, you know, just, you know, go get some of that on your lip and stuff, some baby foreskin, and I'm just trying to. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, this, are this foreskin coming from live babies or are they coming from, you know, from fetuses that been aborted? And it's funny, when I was attending Northwestern, you know, I was a biology major and I was just nigging around, opened up one of them cabinets and I saw several jars of fetuses in a jar.
Hmm.
You know, I might have been one of the few ones that seen that. I thought that was kind of strange.
Hmm.
Live babies in a jar. I guess in formaldehyde or whatever they kept. I just thought that was strange there. It might still be up there in Northwestern. So that's, yeah, I just thought that was kind of strange there. Again, y'all, we're talking about the Roe v. Wade, and not just that, but I think it's something that Clarence Thomas really want to make a push to touch these three cases. I ain't got the article in front of me. I think he said something along the line to correct the error. And he got the Lawrence versus Texas. It was that made sodomy legalized across the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
And y'all know what that is. This the raw spill. This the raw spill. We tackle these things here. That's, you know, the same sex activities. You know, you're digging in the man's behind. Let's call it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
up there. So reading up on this here, come to find out, that was punishable.
Mm-hmm.
Before they passed that law, I was reading you can punishable by fines. You get a life sentence for that,
mm-hmm.
and even both. But now that's so that's something that Mr. Clarence Thomas wants to tackle. Also, the Griswold versus Connecticut overview is basically where married couples have the right to use contraceptives.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of contraceptives, I come across a video and it kind of ties into the unseen world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I really do like those testimonies when people have those experiences, and that deals with contraceptives, mainly, you know, condoms too. So we're going to be playing that video about that. And the Abigail versus Hodges, and that was the where they legalized same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And again, and what those three have in common, you can't have no babies. Mm-hmm. So that seems to be the goal, I guess, to minimize the population of the world. Mm-hmm. First day was overturn this abortion law, and I think even the House passed a bill not that long ago to protect access to birth control, but that failed in the House. Well, like you said, there seemed to be a little bit of hope out there. The way this world was going, I thought it was just a handful of us that agree that this abortion is not right, but it's kind of encouraging to see someone in a high court got that mindset, got that courage. Now, that's courage. Mm-hmm. That's not very popular to make a stance to try to overturn these three laws there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, to me, Brother Harold, I think our government, for the most part, got their focus on the wrong things. Everybody's out trying to march against what the Supreme Court just did in overturning Roe versus Wade and sending that back to the state. And, you know, to me, they need to be protesting these grocery bills prices and these high gas prices, you know. But it just shows you that they don't care about eating. Don't care about high gas. Just let me be able to kill a baby without a conscience. You know, you got your focus on the wrong thing. To me, food and gas are the trump. You know, what else you got going on? But you know, to me, it just shows our priorities are in the wrong place. And I'm just so grateful that things have turned out the way that they have concerning Roe versus Wade, because, like I said, this has been in play for so many years. And, you know, to me, it is a shame. In fact, the Bible says that when children run the government, that there's a curse against a nation. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the lady who was Jane Roe, that wasn't her real name, just in case y'all don't know. It wasn't Jane Roe. That was an offshoot of John Doe. The Jane Roe thing, that was just an offshoot of John Doe. And she was a young, promiscuous woman, you know, young girl, started having children as a teenager and had some bad relationships and just kept being promiscuous. And so they used her. They took a young, wild child. You know, that's who Roe was, a young, wild child, and used her for that. And I just think, now that's a shame. They didn't take anybody that was established, you know. And I think about, you know, I just feel like this, you know. People say, well, I've heard people say over time, well, I'm just not ready to have a child, you know. You know, I'm damaged, and you know, I've heard women say that, you know, I'm damaged. I don't think I can raise a child. Well, then I say, well, then you too damaged to be in a relationship. Well, you gonna destroy that too. You know, if you too damaged to have children and raise them, you too damaged to have a husband or a boyfriend to be messing with. So, you know, just go sit down somewhere until you heal, and then you can be ready for all of it. You know, so I just don't like excuses. You know, I've heard people who make more money than I've made say, well, I'm just not financially ready. And, you know, you can go to any Mississippi farm somewhere, you're going to find some old couple with twin dad done had 20 children, and every last one of them had a corn cob to eat for. You know, they all got along, and you know, just some kind of way. You know, my old uncle Dudley, he used to talk about how they used to count their beans when they were growing up, and they all lived their adulthood. So I guess they had enough to eat. You know, so you know, so I just think, you know, to me, we live in a selfish nation, and to me, it shows. To me, love is what raises children. You know, when we first moved the property that we're on now, our son, our youngest son, he was going out finding all kind of edible leaves that I wasn't interested in, all kind of edible grass. Dad, you know you can eat that? And he'd be chewing on it. Yeah, you go ahead on, son. Go ahead on now. You know, it's like, so we'll wait until we just poor enough, you know, and we'll think about eating grass. And then greens is close enough. That's about soggy grass is about as close as I'm going to get to that for now anyway, until the Lord says something different. But, I just never bought, I don't make enough money to have children, you know. And so what we're doing is we're teaching a generation not to share. You know, now folks don't want to share the road, you know, mad because they somebody else on the street driving with them. You know, so to me, it just seemed like the world was a better place overall when people had more children. You had more children, they learned how to share, they learned how to deal with different personalities, so they weren't shocked, their system weren't shocked when they got out into the real world and had to deal with people. They said, oh yeah, you like my cousin Pip. Oh yeah, I know how to deal with you because you like my little brother was. So you got all these different personalities in one family, and it teaches children how to deal with other people besides themselves. And so to me, I think I could see how we're going backwards, even in being social. And, you know, Brother Harold, it amazes me, that when people are homeschooled, the whole climate, the whole world is mad because the child don't have a social life. Well, they have one if you have more than one child. You know, that's your social life. Have more than one child. They don't have to be in a classroom with 30 other children that ain't interested in learning. You know, you have more than one child at home. That's social enough. We play with our siblings. You know, we didn't have to wait till we got to school to learn how to function and play with people. You know, so I just think the whole thing is twisted.
Oh yeah, we're talking about the aftermath of the Roe v. Wade decision. We happy to have Sister Bolden to join us on here. Sister Bolden, you don't mind? I want you to share your experience on this particular subject. Just share what you have to share with us. Pretty much share your experience on this matter. What you have experienced.
I just want to say that, I too am very excited, about the decision that the Supreme Court made in overturning the decision. And just to kind of go along with what's already been said about, the irresponsibility, because that's kind of, like what my story is in it, how, it's dangerous to society, but it's, just even more dangerous to families, which of course make up society, when we're not teaching our children to be responsible for their actions or to really deal with the consequences of their actions. I had my first child at 16 years old. And I can remember it, just so vividly. And I didn't grow up in a church environment with any type of religious convictions or anything like that. I just had a very kind of brief understanding that God existed and I believed it. And so I didn't have a God conscience about sin at that time. but I can just remember, I can remember some of the older ladies around in the community, and I kind of heard this same theme, like they would say, now that you have a child, your life is not your own. You live for that child. You make whatever sacrifices are necessary for your child, And of course, I didn't understand it all, but I just understood that there was some selflessness that had to come about now that, you're a parent now. So you have to live to take care of the child, not live to please yourself. And I think those were some, some great lessons. Then 3 years later, I had another child. And so with that, now I was engaged to be married then. So I had a little bit more of a sense of, okay, all right, I'm kind of getting control of this, because by that time I had actually started going to a church. I had a little bit, just a tiny bit more knowledge of, the fact that, well, you should be married when you're actually having children, not, having children out of wedlock. I believe that. And of course, back then I didn't really see the importance of it, but of course, now I see the importance of it and how it keeps things in order, and of course it's God's way. And so with that, I began to kind of take inventory of my life at that point, and really before then, but, you know, I kind of had this idea that life was going to go a certain way, and it was going to include me being married and continuing to have children and, you know, just some of the different things, what my husband would be like and all of these sorts of things. Well, it didn't quite work out. It wasn't working out the way I thought. And the next year, so by the time, so I was 19 when I had my second child, and then I got pregnant again before I turned 20 years old. So here I was, 19 years old, with my third child on the way. And this is one of the things that, where the abortion comes in at, you know, in society. A lot of times, you know, people have plans and they think, you know, my life is going to go a certain way. And, of course, if you add a little bit of pride to that and it's not going that way, people get desperate to try to fix their reputation and things like that. And so that's where I was. That's where I was at that time. I felt like I was extremely disappointed in myself. I felt like a failure at that time. And it's really crazy because I want to describe this day. I was engaged, and I want to say this because I want to make this clear, because this was a part of this feeling, this failure and feeling this disappointment in myself. So the first child I had, this was in my hometown with, you know, a guy I went to high school with, and, you know, I thought we were going to get married, but that didn't happen. So then I moved to another city. So now I'm with another guy. And, of course, we're engaged and actually talking about getting married. It went further than that first relationship did. And it was kind of this distance that came between us. We never officially broke it off, but we weren't really seeing each other anymore. So it felt like it was over. So in that, I started going out with another guy. And so here I am, 19 years old, pregnant for the third time, three different daddies. And it's like, no woman wants that mark. Like, okay, what am I doing? What in the world is going on? Why is my life spiraling out of control? This is not at all what I had planned. I was, you know, that's just not the way you want to see yourself. But that's what was happening. And so there I was. And, I pushed the guy away, and I told him, because as a matter of fact, he was engaged also, and we had the exact same story at the time, that I'm engaged and me and my fiance, we have this distance, and he's engaged and him and his fiance have this distance because she was actually, you know, with another guy, and so on these grounds we come together, and then now we're pregnant and have a baby on the way. And it's like, this has got to be one of the craziest things I've ever encountered. Like, how do I fix this mess that I'm making? And so in that, you know, I come up with this idea with him. I'm like, listen, you don't need all this drama. I got enough going on. You know, let's just, you know, call this quits. I'll abort the baby and you go on with your life. You don't ever have to tell anybody that we ever knew each other, and I'll, you know, never contact you. And so we go on. So I get as simple as looking in what many people don't see these now, but a phone book. There's a whole section for abortion. And so I just, you know, go down the line. It's, you know, right there. And I start looking. And I never told anybody in my family, you know, that I was pregnant. I was trying to, and I think this was said earlier, I was trying to cover my shame, cover my sin. That's really what it was. I wanted to cover my sin. I wanted to protect what little bit of a reputation I might have been able to hold on to, whereas, okay, well, if I can get rid of this shame, if I can get rid of this sin, this act, then I can go ahead and marry this guy that I have, you know, that already had the baby with. We were already engaged. I can marry him, and then nobody will ever know about this other thing that I had going on. And, you know, I think it's a sad thing. It's like you said, you know, we're in a bad place when God created us as women, you know, to bring forth children. He chose us, and it's such an honor to bring forth life. And yet there I was in sin. And it's like, I was in an evil, dark place for my conscience to be seared the way that it was, where I could detach emotionally from my own flesh and blood, and be willing to kill, you know, my own child. And so there I was, you know, looking and planning. And here's another sad thing about it. And, you know, people don't talk about the emotional distress that comes with it, but on the front side of it, it was all about my reputation, all about, you know, let me hide this, let me get rid of this shame. Maybe if I can just get past this moment, I can get on with life and I can, you know, make things better some kind of way. As if, you know, if you're already making bad decisions and you're only consulting yourself, you're just going to keep making bad decisions. You know, it's not going to change. If you're the only person you're consulting, your emotions and your past experiences and people who are just as silly as you are because they're your age, you're not going to make any better decisions. You need somebody who has more wisdom and has something to offer you. And I wasn't looking for that. I was trying to cover my mistakes and handle it on my own. So there I was, and I'll never forget this day. I had the money, I had gotten the cash, and I, you know, had a little purse. My mother and a good friend of hers was sitting in the living room, and my demeanor was as if nothing was wrong. Absolutely nothing. I spoke to them, I walked out the back, I said, "Oh, I'll be back," and I left, knowing full well that I'm on my way to a clinic to go and kill my baby. And so I get there, and it's odd enough, you know, I had already had several pregnancy tests done, you know, at my gynecologist. So already I knew that I was pregnant, and I knew how far along it was, because prior to me being with this guy, I had not been with my fiance himself. I had not been with him for 7 months. So I knew exactly when I got pregnant. And so I go to this abortion clinic. It looked like an abandoned building off a few blocks off of the main street. You would have thought that it was not a business, and that was on purpose. You know, they had it very hidden. But they gave me the instructions on the phone. They told me where to get off, because I caught the bus, where to get off the bus at, how far to walk down. They said, "You're going to see these weeds." It's almost like they purposely had weeds growing up and had it looking abandoned to make it look like nobody was there. And so they told me exactly where to go. And I got there, and they did a consultation where I had to sign the consent for them to get my paperwork from my gynecologist, and they're waiting on that. And they're telling me, you know, what's going to happen in a very vague manner. And then they tell me, "We have to let you listen to a recording." Oh, to this day, it does something to me. I can still hear it. As long ago as that was, I can still hear it today. They let me listen to a recording of what it sounds like to have a baby vacuumed out of you. And it's one of the most horrendous things to think that, you know, like, but yet sin had me right there. And I thank God for how it all played out. When they got me on the table to examine me, I think the people thought I was trying to set them up or something, because at that time it was only legal to abort up to, I want to say, 6 weeks. When they got me on the table and they did the examination, they were like, "Whoa, wait a minute, something's wrong here. You're 6 months pregnant. We can't do this. You have to get out of here. You have to get out of here." They were like panicking. And I'm thinking, I'm not 6 months pregnant, of course. You know, I had the baby like 6 months later, because I was only 3 months pregnant at the time. And so it didn't happen. And here's the thing. From then till now, I can still hear that recording, and it still bothers me. And I think about so many other women who have done the same thing, or young girls who were so immature, done the same thing. And then not only that, what happened after that, because I ended up, you know, I delivered I delivered my baby, and I ended up giving her to an aunt and uncle who, you know, in my mind, oh, they're rich, they can take care of her. But still, I was trying to cover my sins. Still, that I was trying to do that. And when I did that, for the next year and a half, I experienced extreme depression. I went into a very, very deep place. Because of what I had done. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that had I aborted her, I don't think I would be sitting here even talking about it. I think I would have committed suicide. I don't think I would have been able to handle it. I think a lot of women go that route because they think in the moment the enemy can convince people that, hey, you can cover this. You know, you don't have to tell anybody. You can go on with life. But what a lot of people are not talking about are the emotional effects that happen after you do something like that. Even me separating myself from my child, giving her even to a family member where I could still see her growing up, so to speak, and knew exactly what was going on with her. But even that affected me in, you know, in a real deep manner. And I can only imagine, you know, like how many other women are being affected in that same manner and going into depression. And it's like you said, instead of people dealing with the issue and getting back to, okay, where did we go wrong with changing things? They keep trying to come up with all these pacifiers and band-aids. Okay, well, you're depressed. Well, let's make mental health normal to everybody so you can go see a psychiatrist and get medicine and get on medications. But no, the issue is let's get back to strengthening the family and teaching our children to be responsible for their actions and teaching people the ways of God so that we're making better decisions, you know, based on God's standard and not trying to hide the things that we're doing wrong.
Yeah. Well, yes, now, we really appreciate you, Sister Bolden, for, you know, sharing your story about that. And the last couple of things you said, the emotional effects, they will not touch on that. All you're going to hear, I'll play that video in a minute, but they don't talk about the emotional effects that may bring. It's just, that's a woman's body, that's her right. You know, how dare you tell a woman what to do with her body? Mm-hmm. And the depression, and so that's, really do appreciate you for, you know, sharing your experience. And again, I say it at the end of each program. I hope something here is said, you know, that'll help whoever listening, you know, to view things. You might think you have an idea where things are. So hopefully, this broadcast, anything you hear from this broadcast, will open your eyes on things that's really happening. Apostle, you want to add on to what was said so far?
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, exactly what you all were saying about the emotional thing about it. You know, I think one of two things is going to happen when a woman decides to go that route. Either she's going to be, she's going to be broken emotionally, but she's going to either decay, or she's going to go in the opposite direction and harden herself, and not just towards her own offspring, but just in life in general, because she's going to have to do something to herself to keep from breaking. You know, if that making sense, she's going to have to do something to pretend like she's not broken. And so oftentimes, you know, instead of being emotionally broken and confessing, hey, man, this thing really bothered me and this is hurting and I feel like a part of me is missing, you know, then they'd rather just build themselves up and become very boisterous. And they got to put on this front like they're not broken, when in reality they are emotionally broken. And unfortunately, they'll find out later on if God don't heal them. And to me, God heals people that have experienced that. Even if they've had an abortion, God can heal them, but they have to realize, I've done something against life and God's not pleased with it, and I need to repent of it. Don't be proud and pretend like you didn't do something. You know, you've done something, you know. And I've shared this story before. I dealt with a woman that I couldn't put my finger on it, what was going on, you know, but at some point, you know, abortion came up and she said something about it just out of the blue. And I said, you believe in that? You know, you're okay with that? And this was a church going woman. And she said, yeah. I said, you're okay with that? You know, I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And then I asked, I said, so have you had an abortion? And she said, yeah, I've had 7. You know, and just me dealing with just women in the church and things like that, you know, just coming up, that's a very common story for, you know, very common story for, yeah. Now, my wife at that time wasn't in church, didn't have a whole lot of God conscious about it and things like that. But, you know, me growing up in church and seeing different women in that, you know, I've seen how they just go on with life. You know, that's part of life, just killing babies. That's what we do. And I remember she was telling me this story. In that conversation, she was telling me about her grandmother and how her grandmother, before Roe versus Wade, her grandmother would abort children. Her grandmother was in this, you know, she was one of those women that they would take when that, you know, older lady that, you know, the younger women, when they got pregnant, they would go to her. You know, they did the hangers and things like that, you know, which is another thing that, you know, the proponents of abortion says, well, you know, you don't want to go back to hangers. You don't want to go back. That's going to, we can just teach morality. We could teach abstinence. We could teach what God's purpose is for marriage. We could do it the right way instead of, you know, we ain't got to go back to no hanger. Just live right. Just live right. You don't have to, you know, you ain't got to bring hangers into it. But she said her grandmother was one of those people that she would perform abortions. Of course, grandma wasn't a doctor. Grandma wasn't a midwife either. She was just some old lady. That was the way she earned money. You know, you come by here, I help you get rid of that baby. And so, but she said on her grandmother's deathbed, she said that her grandmother was tormented and she was just screaming out loud and like she was just pushing somebody away, even though nobody was there. And she said that they asked the grandma was wrong. And she said, all these babies are coming for me. And what she was doing, she was seeing what hell would look like for her. That's what, you know, sometimes people do that. But right before they cross over, God give them a taste, you know, so that folks on this side can see that it's real over there, you know. And so I'm sitting there. She's telling me that story. Yeah, grandma, she left here being tormented by all the babies that she killed. And I thought, that's what hell is for her, you know. And so, and then I thought, so you still had 7 abortions after the fact, still had 7 abortions. So one day, so after that, you know, after that, I just decided I can't deal with you. You know, I thought I was interested. I'm gonna have to figure out a way to get out of this, because, you know, you killing your own babies, you know, I ain't got no chance. I know my personality. You know, babies, they ain't fussing or nothing. They ain't doing nothing but me, see? And so it wasn't too long after that I had a dream that she was calling me to her. And she, if you looked at this lady, you wouldn't think abortion at all. You know, I don't know what abortion looked like, but you wouldn't think it. You wouldn't think that she had done something like that, you know. And so one day I had a dream that she had called me. She was calling, hey, John, come here. So I was walking up to her, and I couldn't see her face because I just knew her at that time by her shape in the dream. I just knew, okay, so that's her. So I go to her. And when I got up close to her, there was no face there. It was just all black. And the Lord was showing me she got the shadow of death on her. Just all black, no face. And when I saw that, I took off running. And when I took off running, as I'm running, the Lord appears and I just run into his arms. And he was letting me know, I'm calling you away from that. Because that right there got the spirit of death on her. That's the reason why, you know, it was passed down. Grandma could do it. No doubt her mama did it. And no doubt, and of course, she's admitted that she's had seven. And so, you know, whenever I come across something like that, then, you know, I know how serious it is, you know, and my prayers is that the people that are listening to this, if they have done it, if the women have done it, if and you brothers as well, if you have helped, if you've paid for it, you know, to get out of your responsibility, you need to repent for that. And because God's not pleased with it. And my prayers is that you'll repent. It doesn't matter how unsaved you were at the time. You need to repent for it. Now that you're saved, now that you know better, you need to repent for it and come out of that, and God will give you mercy for it.
All right. And again, I want to take this moment to encourage everyone in Derrida, Louisiana, August the 7th. That's on a Sunday at 1 p.m. at the corner of Elm Street and Vine. There will be a tent revival there. Next, and as many as can come, you have nothing to do, you're more than welcome to attend. All the way from Leesville, Fort Polk, Maryville, Rose Pine, all cities nearby, you're more than welcome to attend. See Apostle Bolin there at the corner of Elm Street and Vine in Derrida, Louisiana. And we'll tell you more about that towards the end of the program. And I want to play this video of this lady here. I guess she's a news anchor or something like that. And that'll really get the This was like night and day. You heard Sister Bolden's account of abortion, and now you're finna hear something on the total opposite. I tell you, these people are real bold nowadays. You know, they don't hide their intentions. They just tell you what they really feel, and you take it or leave it. So it's queued up in the beginning.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah. So I want y'all to take a listen to this here.
USA is not
these
a real place.
These comments might be strong, but it's how I genuinely feel. I don't care that you're a Christian. I don't care what the Bible says. Like, I feel like it's a clown show, like sitting here trying to decipher what your little mythical book has to say about these very real political issues, right? I don't care if you're Christian. In fact, I will fight for you to have your religious liberty and practice your Christianity. I believe in that. I don't believe in Christianity, which means that you do not get to dictate the way I live my life based on your religion. I don't care what the Bible says. You have every right in the world. All those women who identify with your religion have every right in the world to not get an abortion, to not take birth control. But they do not have the right to dictate my life and what I decide to do with my body. I don't care about your religion. I'm so tired of having nonstop conversations about what the Bible says. You live your life in the way that you interpret the Bible. Again, I don't care, but you don't get to take the Bible and tell me, well, the Bible says this in this chapter and this verse. I don't care. I don't care. I don't believe in it. And I have the right, based on our Constitution, to not believe in it.
All right, you hear that. I'll tell y'all just a little side note up. I'm down there in Florida after each broadcast, I always get a phone call from somebody. Well, this person believe in God, is saved and Christian and all that, but they have that same kind of fire that I'm telling you. I'm listening to this thing for like almost an hour, because I live like an hour from the studio. Mm-hmm. and I have to listen to that kind of energy as it referred to no matter what our topic we spoke on the air. But for some strange reason, they just feel like what's brought up. I mean, we use scripture. You know, Pastor Bolin, he had Bible to back up everything that was said. And for some strange reason, I mean, they are that strong, that level. And so that, after a while, And I'm crazy enough to just, you know, listen to it and let them vent. But yeah, what's your take on that, Apostle? I'm telling you, that's something very strong to deal with. On a, if you're trying to deal with that in flesh, yeah, you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she got some pretty strong on her.
Yeah, you could definitely tell that a nerve have been hit with her. You know, unfortunately, you know, the Bible talks about being lawless. And, you know, when we get to the point where we are that lawless, where, you know, when we're in a place where a woman say, hands off my body, you know, I have a right to kill a child or whatever they want to call the child. It's a child. And so whatever they want to call it, you know, then I think, so what else is it? You know, a pedophile might say, well, me and this little child, we have a relationship. You can't, you know, so the lawlessness doesn't stop. You know, where does it end with the lawlessness? And so that young lady, you know, the Bible only lays out things that's considers mankind and what's best for us and to keep us from all killing each other. Going to keep us in some kind of moral standard. Mm-hmm. And so what she's saying is, I don't want no moral standard. I don't want, just anything could go. That basically, that's what we have moved to. Well, just let everybody just do what they want to do. And just, you don't have a right to tell anybody how to live. Well, you know, how about the person that was just executed down in Alabama? You know, you don't have a right to convict him. Man. He felt like killing, and so that's what he did. So, you know, so if you don't get to pick and choose what's moral and what's not when it comes to you and your emotions and your feelings about different things. You know, that the Bible lays a standard, and it, all the Bible is doing is really connecting people back to their God conscious, the conscious that they were born with. There's not anybody alive that's born believing it's okay to kill. Nobody's born believing it's okay to steal. Nobody's born believing it's okay to lie. All those things that the Bible lays out are things that God have already written in our hearts that's right. And so when I see people go on the far end like that, that lets me know you're trying to fight against even your nature. Even your nature says that it's wrong about what you're doing and what you're trying to push. And so to me, that's the reason why they have to be so boisterous and so upset and so angered and things like that, because that's the way wrong talk. That's the way, you know, I got to fight against my own conscience. She's not yelling at me or anybody else. She's yelling above her own conscience. And that's what that is. And so, you know, you had to pray for people like that. You know, you know, sometimes people, you know, Brother Harold, I've come across people that have never had an abortion, but you can bring it up and they say, well, I ain't going to judge. Who am I? And you can just about always tell, you know, somebody that's done had one and you're trying to defend them. You're not a friend to them if you're not telling them what's right. You know, I don't care who it was. I don't care what you did. You know, wrong is wrong, and you need to repent for it. You know, and I, you know, so we have to, as believers, we have to get out of this mindset of, well, who am I to judge? You know, I done my dirt. Yeah, and I've repented for my dirt, and everybody else need to repent for theirs. I'm not, you know, how can we walk side by side and you haven't repented, but I have, you see. If I have truly repented and I have a pure heart towards things, I don't mind bringing this to people and saying, you know, you were wrong for doing that. You shouldn't have done that, you know. So if somebody starts talking about it, I don't care how many friends I have that have done it, so what? You know, at some point, we got to stand up for what's right and quit letting the devil punk us out with judge not. The Bible says judge with righteous judgment. The righteous judgment is the word of God. And God told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew you. Before your parents even came together, I knew you. So don't tell me that's not a child in that womb. And he told Jeremiah, before I formed you. So even in that, all mom and daddy did was came together and started the process. God took over from there and started forming. You see, and so, you know, we have, you know, the Bible lays it out very clearly. And it's amazing to me, Brother Harold. I've seen people turn just like that lady. I guarantee you, at some point, she was in church somewhere. She was in church somewhere, and she heard the truth, and she just decided, I'm going to put this Bible down because I don't want to repent. You know, that's what that boiled down to. And, you know, I tell you, the Bible says there's no rest for the wicked. And it's clearly that young lady, she doesn't have peace in her heart. You know, if you know, to me, if you know you're right in something, you ain't got to fuss about it. If you know you're right, you're just right. And right can be calm talking, you see. But when you're wrong, you feel like you got to be boisterous and you got to be angry and you got to be all of that because you're not right to begin with. And so my prayer, you know, Brother Harold, that's all over the place. People just, that's all over the place. People, instead, it's amazing to me. People are going a million miles around the world to keep from repenting. A million miles around the world to keep from repenting. My prayer is that this world will change and repent and turn to God so that God will hold off some of this judgment that he has for us.
Oh, yeah. Got one more clip to play, too. That's kind of, when you told that story about the grandmother seeing those children, I guess she had aborted. There is a video out there pertaining to something similar to what you were saying. Mm-hmm. So that is, it is a possibility. How can I put it? It ain't no cuckoo talk. That's the real deal. I know there's people out there like this lady that don't believe in no God or whatever, but there's a world beyond this one. Let's put it like that. And I want to play this last clip. And here we go.
I want to mention a class of incubus and succubus demon. Firstly, the use of condom is a demonic practice. In a dimension of Satan called the world of golders, there are spirit called spirit a bedroom. It is in this kingdom that there are manufacturing industries of the satanic world. Everything that we have on earth are also designed there. Generally, the center of manufacturing of items in the physical world begin there in that world of Satan. In this world, the wicked spirit called bedroom spirit or picker spirit, their task is to move in different hotel rooms in order to pick a condom. Even if you drop them in the toilet, you must understand that toilet is a satanic post station, and you got to understand that there is life in these semen in these condom. Maybe you think that you never aborted, but the use of condom is abortion. Masturbation is also abortion. You are killing just for simple pleasure, and thinking that there is no consequence. Unless you confess, you will face judgment in the last day of judgment. The demon picker collect all these semen and condom, and take them to the world of Golder, and they put these semen in beauty lotion, soap and perfume that they send to Earth. In order to explode sexual immorality in the world, the spirit of chambers and toilet are in the order of incubus and succubus. Whoever use condom is bound by the spirit world because it come from there with a precise mission. We as Christian cannot use condom. There are deeds and practices that open doorway to the spirit world, such as oral sex. This give legality to the demonic world. Many family are destroyed by demon because of anal and oral sex. If you ever practice these things, you need to confess.
All right. I mean, that's self-explanatory. So that kind of makes sense if there's a power out there that's pushing behind abortion, that's want to prevent abortion, but God want us, his intent was for us to be fruitful and multiply this world. That's God's intent. No, be married, and multiply the world. Mm-hmm. So there's another force who wants to abort babies and want to prevent pregnancy. So that kind of reminds me of you did a sermon on the sodomite spirit, mm-hmm. and exposing the sodomite spirit. And that was That was eye-opening for me, too. You know, I learned stuff, too. So that was, that sermon was eye-opening. That kind of ties in to that sermon you did some years back. Mm-hmm. And hit the hour mark already. So I'll let you that video and give you the last words or whatever loose ends we know. Oh yeah, before that I didn't even know that Griswold and versus Connecticut. I didn't know until back in 1965, and that was the leadway to Roe versus Wade. Mm-hmm. I always thought they started with the abortion first, and then the contraceptives. Mm-hmm. But it started with the contraceptives, and was opened the door for Roe v. Wade. So I thought that was interesting. I always thought it was backwards. Mm-hmm. But at this point here, I will give you the final words. Maybe some loose end we might have missed, or maybe your thoughts on what we just heard. And if we want to also give out the website or whatever and tell more about the Red River Bible.
All right. So in that, you could see how the enemy had planned this, to contraceptives first, because that would be easier to pass. And then going on to abortion, because that's really, it's all the same thing. It's stopping children from being born. And, I don't know how you can just sit back. If you observe the whole thing, you can't see that this is a demonic attack against the human family. The first command that God gave mankind is to be fruitful and multiply. And he gave us the ability from the age of about 13 to about 50 to be able to be, for women, to be able to have children and to bear children. And to me, the Bible says that we are made in the image of God. And that's really, to me, is what the devil is fighting, the image of God. Even if a soul is not saved, the devil still sees the image of God, and that's what the devil don't want. He don't want any more images of God walking in his world than what they have to be. And I think it's a shame. Something else you were talking about, the sodomy laws. I was explaining to my wife on the way over here, I think the lady, the lady was the Griswold. She was saying, well, if you want to tackle this, you're going to have to be under everybody's bedroom, under everybody's bed. The FBI, the law enforcement is going to have to be under everybody's bed. And I told my wife, those sodomy laws were not passed to be enforced concerning what's going on in the bedroom. The sodomy laws were passed because these things were going on out in public. And people got tired of walking up on that, because I want you to think about something. So when you're talking about sodomy, usually it's between two men. That's usually what was taking place out in public. Because you think about, men were married. They didn't want to be, or had a girlfriend. They didn't want to be doing that in the house. They got a mom at home, or girlfriend at home, or wife at home. So they'd go out into public places, into parks. And I was telling my wife, I was just reading about a week and a half ago, about 8 men that were arrested in Oklahoma City because they were at a park doing these things, and just in different places. So that's the reason why the sodomy laws were passed. It wasn't for what was going on in a bedroom. The devil is too, he's too bold for that. It was about what was going on out in public, and people not wanting their children to be playing at the park and walking up on something like that. You see, so a lot of these things, there are even famous singers, and I ain't going to mention no names, but famous singers who have been arrested for doing these things out in public, and eventually they came out of the closet or whatever. But before then, they were in the closet, out in public somewhere, in the public restrooms and different things like that. So, because the devil likes a thrill, and he want to put these things in the eyes of young people, always at a park, see? And so that's the reason why these laws were passed. And so, to me, I think we have to bring our children and raise our children to know what's right and to teach them what's right. And that's why I'm glad that you have this broadcast here so that we can talk about these things and, you know, bring people to the word. You know, I'm glad that my wife shared what she shared. And my prayers is that it will help some young ladies out there who are thinking about doing this or who have done it and have not repented yet. You know, people can be years down the road and have no idea why they have mental issues, have no idea why they're tormented. Because to them, abortion happened years ago. That ain't got nothing to do with this. You know, and that's the genius of the devil. I hardened you when this happened. You had to pump yourself up and harden yourself while it happened. But at some point, you level back out. At some point, you reconnect with your feminine side. And at some point, you start realizing, wait a minute, something's going on here. Something ain't adding up, and I can't figure out. And just like my wife said, they got all kind of prescription drugs for that. Let's just give you some happy pills to get you happy. And then when you get too happy, you can take some downer pills to bring you back down. We want you to go swinging when you on a happy pill, and we want to bring you back down so you can go to bed and go to sleep. And, you know, that ain't, you know, most of us have heard of different things like that. You know, people ODing, they disturb their hearts with the up and down, and that's not God's will. And so my prayer is that people will repent. They'll come back to the Lord. You know, you have not committed the unpardonable sin with that. But you do need to realize it's a sin and move your pride out the way. Just admit you were wrong. And like my wife said, just trying to save her reputation. And I really love what she said about, you know, if you're silly in your mind and you're the only person you're consulting, you know, then them choices ain't going to get no better. They're not going to get any better. And I'm telling you, that's the truth. You know, I got no business standing in my head and I'm a fool. You know, I need to go out and talk to somebody. Hey, you done live 2 years more than me. You got any advice? You know, please, you know. But prior to have people going around that same circle, I got it. I can figure it out. I got it. I can figure it out. I got it. I can figure it out. And ain't figuring out nothing. Just, you know. And so my prayer is that this broadcast really helps somebody. We don't mean to be cruel, you know, but that word's got to be hammered home. The truth has to be hammered home. And, you know, I was telling my wife, I asked my wife if she feel like being on here today, because I really wanted somebody to hear it from the horse's mouth. You know, you and I, Brother Harold, we could be labeled as chauvinists. You know, you don't know what we're going through. You know, no, I ain't never been pregnant. I'm sorry. You know, that's just not my calling. but I wanted my wife to share her story about it so that you could see it is possible to repent. You ain't got to hate men for the rest of your life because we can't get pregnant. You see, you can repent and you can come to the Lord and you can be forgiven and the Lord can help settle your mind and set it back the way it's supposed to be. So, you know, just to add, of course, from that, that God knows about everything we've done. I don't care how we try to hide it. He knows about everything we've done. And I just think that we need to just make those things right with God and not try to hide those things. You know, life is funny that way. The more you try to hide, the more you're exposed, you know. You tell on yourself by trying to hide, you see. And so, you know, and with the meeting that we'll be having in DeRidder, Louisiana, we're hoping, you know, we might be on the corner, but we might end up being somewhere else that Sunday. So we'll keep you updated with that. So you can email us at, email us at gtdministries@gmail.com. We'll definitely keep you updated with that. And also, our website is www.onetruth.tv. That's www.TRUTH.TV. And we'll keep you updated there as well.
All right. I appreciate that. Oh, yeah. One last thing I forgot to even mention on here. But I heard on the radio a few days ago there was some Walgreens employees. I don't know if they got fired or whatever, but they refused to sell contraceptives. Now, I don't know the birth control pills. I don't know. Do you got to have a prescription for those or something like that? Or I don't know. Birth control? Yeah, but anyway, it was like birth control pills and condoms. You know, some employees there, they just flat out refused to sell it because of their religious beliefs. So it's just, so it's kind of good to see somebody have a backbone out there now, putting their job on the line, and you know, to stand up for what they believe in. Yeah, I just had to throw that in there. And I want to thank Pastor Apostle Bolden and his wife, Sister Bolden, for coming on, giving me a hand here with this broadcast. And again, I hope that anyone listening to this, that you got something out of it. And until next time, take care.